Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your 1 hour inspirational programming. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a very good show planned for you tonight, and I'm so glad that you're here. Let's go ahead and invite the international man himself, Pastor Rose. I'm going to ask Pastor Rose if he'll give a word of prayer for us. Welcome to tonight's broadcast, Pastor Rose.
Well, great. It's great to be on the call tonight. As I always look forward to our Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays, you know, there's just so much we share. We're making a difference in the lives of many all around the globe, and we're so thankful for what Dr. Walker and all of the leaders that are on the call are doing to make a difference, to impact the world for Christ, and to be a catalyst for change. Let us pray. Merciful and eternal God, our fathers, once again, we come before you just to say thank you. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for the multitude of your tender mercies, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're using Blog Talk Radio to show the leadership, Lord, to make a difference in the lives of many all around the world. We thank you, Lord, especially what our leader, Dr. Walker, is doing to lead us and guide us in the ways that will please you, that you'll be able to say, these are my beloved children in whom I am well pleased. And we want you to be pleased with us, Lord, as we go forth in this show. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for that, Pastor Rose. We certainly do appreciate having you here tonight. Before we bring in our other various co-hosts, I want to go ahead and send this message out. Tonight's topic is our parents. Our parents fell in their youth by not training them up according to the Word of God. And before I bring the other co-hosts in, Pastor Rose, I want to just start with you and ask that question. Are the parents failing their youth by not training them up according to the Word of God? You know, the scripture that train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is older, he will not depart. Your thoughts on that?
Wow. Well, you said it. Nothing else can be added to that. You know, we have to train up our children. You know, we have to train them not only spiritually, but also with the things that our children have to deal with in life. You know, they are confronted by so many different things, and they need to know how to discern and, you know, rightly discerning the word of truth. But we have a responsibility as parents to train them up, you know, and so when they are old, they won't depart. And so we can make a difference, but if we don't train them in the way that they should go, then we're looking for problems in our future generations. That's my thoughts on that, Dr. Walker. Back to you.
Okay, we're going to ask you to hold on, and I certainly do agree with what you've said here. Let's go ahead and welcome Sparkles to tonight's broadcast, and then we're going to bring you a surprise visitor, Shield of Faith, who's back with us. But let's go ahead first to Sparkles. Sparkles, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you with us.
Good evening, Dr. Walker, co-host, and the listening audience. I am looking forward to tonight's topic of discussion and everyone's perspective. I have an announcement that I want to make.
Okay.
Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the team would like to thank everyone who has and continues to support the Christmas Project of 2023. The theme this year is Love is the Spirit of Christmas. With the Lord's help, we are able to give away 50 gift bags. a little place in the Lord's hands is multiplied when it's in the Lord's hands. The gift bags will be distributed to the homeless and families of need. Also, the Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the team will be sponsoring some things to the staff at the YMCA in Atlanta, as well as the Pro Rehab facility in Atlanta, Georgia. It is because of God and all who are participating that this has been possible. If anyone who wants to do a one-time sponsorship to this Christmas project, it is not too late. You can call the office, area code 786-399-6111, or go to the website, drjessewalker.com. We thank you in advance for your sponsorship.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Sparkles. And we want to go ahead and bring in Shield the Faith, who's hasn't been with us for a little while, but we certainly, she's vitally important to us for being here whenever she's here. We're so glad to have her. And just before she comes on, I want to send a special thanks, of course, as Box has said, to all of those who sponsor, and an extraordinary special thanks to Sparkles and Shield of Faith for the extra efforts and work that they've done to actually get this, launch this project off the ground. So they've done most of the work, and I certainly appreciate what they have done, as well as the other team members who sponsored. But they were the brains behind all of this, and special thanks to them. Shield of Faith, welcome to tonight's broadcast. We certainly appreciate you and Sparks for what you've done for this project.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back. I have missed everyone, and I appreciate your prayers for my family through this difficult time, but God is good. God is awesome, and I look forward to the topic tonight and to hear what everybody has to say about our children.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. So now, Sparks, let me bring you in here and ask you a question. I mean, it's easy to blame someone for things when things don't go right, but, I mean, is it the parents' fault? Are they really failing their youth by not training them up according to the Word of God? Or is there really a guarantee, even when you train them up according to the Word of God? Shield of Faith, I'm going to ask you the same question.
No, well, the parents have a responsibility and obligation to train the children up, okay? So if the parents are not doing that, they are failing the children. They are. So it's incumbent upon parents to train them up in the way that they should go.
All right,
so that is on the parent. I think that if they're failing.
Okay. Shield of Faith, do you feel that way too, that it's on the parent? But is there a guarantee that the children, even when you train them up according to the Word of God, is there really a guarantee that they're going to do the right thing?
No, I mean, I think when God blesses you with a child, it is your responsibility, and I think he has expectations on us that we should teach our children about him. And I think that we just take for granted sometimes that we have healthy children or that we have children at all, and, you know, not realizing that that's such a blessing from God that he's placed that child in your hands. And I think it is our responsibility to teach them. Now, does that guarantee they're always going to make the right decision? No, none of us do, even though we've been trained the proper way. But I think we're failing not just the children, the parents, but society. And, I mean, I can't imagine having a child and feeling like that they might not spend eternity with God. I think that would be the most horrible feeling in the world. So I think that it's really, really important that you teach them about Jesus and his love and what God's sacrifice has done for them.
Okay. So you, you all got a slight call. So you feel that there is no guarantee even when we do train them. So then how does a parent, in your opinion, find peace to know that you did what you thought was the right thing in raising your children, and then they still go in a different direction? I mean, what do you do with that?
Well, I mean, I think you pray and you ask for God's guidance and you ask for people to come into their lives that maybe they'll listen to, if they won't listen to you, if they stray away. You know, but and you ask for safety if they do stray away until they do come back to God's love. But that, yeah, there's no guarantee. You can't make anyone accept God's will for their lives or God's love. It is all on them. You know, once they're older. But if you teach them when they're young and you instill in their heart how important it is, a lot of times they do stay close to God.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and welcome Ms. Shay. Ms. Shay, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday. I didn't know whether I pressed one or not, but I'm glad I did. So, hello, and I'm glad to be here.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Let's go ahead and welcome Sir Ben to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you back with us as well, Sir Ben. Good to have you here.
Good evening. Happy Friday. I'm glad to be back.
All right. Good. So tonight we're talking about our parents failing their youth by not training them up according to the Word of God. So, Ms. Jay, let me go over here to you now and ask this question. I mean, here it is. You do the best you can. But, Ms. Jay, this is a rather deep question. I don't even know if I know how to really answer it, other than saying you don't want that to happen. Would you want to make it into heaven without your children? How do you answer that question? How do I even ask that question?
No, you really don't. You know, you start up. But first of all, you know, I'm thinking this way. You know, I always have to think outside the box. Where is the parent's faith? You know, you say parents should train their kids. Okay, first, those parents need to be in the Word. All parents are not in the Word. That's why we may have some children that start off not getting that proper training. And hopefully as they start meeting people, you know, in the future or connection, they get curious that they will be able to get in the Word. But first, you know, first parents to me, the parents fail themselves, first of all, you know. And then if you are in the Word, it's not promised that your child will continue to be in the Word. Because I can say for myself, I used to go to church every Sunday, this and that, but as I got older with life and different things, I couldn't go every Sunday. I wasn't going to Bible study. But I was still in the Word, but I was straying away from it somehow until at some point in your life you have to get back connected. But at least I had that training to know how to get back connected.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ms. Jay, and that's what I like about this show, you made a number of valid points that register with my heart because kids will model their parents. Statistics show that if a parent, for example, if a parent went to college, there's a good likelihood that the child or children are likely to go to college. If not all of them, some of them will go to college, but they're likely to model their parents. So if the parent is in church, you know, on a regular routine basis, and especially doing the best they can to live the lifestyle, the children will model that, and they will continue to even go to church. Do you find that to be very valid, even in your life experience, Ms. Jay, that children will model their parents? If you went to college, your kids are likely to go to college?
Yes, I do. And if they don't go to college, they're going to reach some high expectation as far as their education. You know, they won't just settle for high school. Normally they don't, you know. And if you raise a child up in the church, yeah, they're going to continue. They may stray a little bit, but they got that training embedded in them, and, you know, and they will go back to it. But if they don't know nothing about it as young and they get older, and until they're exposed to it or they become curious or they meet someone that wants to get involved in the church and the Word, you know, you have to present it to the person.
All right. We're going to ask you to certainly stand by. Sir Ben, let's bring you in here. Let's bring you in here, Sir Ben, and ask tonight's headline question. Are parents failing their youth by not training them up according to the Word of God? Are they failing them?
Well, yes, because the Word teaches train up a child in the way that he should go, that when he's older, he will not depart from that which he knows. So I want to just touch a little bit on this. And I want to make a disclaimer. It's no condemnation on anybody. But the first church a child ever experienced, I'm going to not just say church, the first God a child ever experienced is in their mother and father. because he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know anything else. So if we are supposed to be their first God, and I don't mean a big God, I mean a little God, and we are supposed to be the ones that teach them about church, then at some point, if we're doing that when they're young, it has already told us that they're going to depart at some point in your life. So here's my next question. Is it the church's responsibility, or is it our responsibility as parents? If we are rooted in the word, rooted in kindness, rooted in love, rooted in the things that are necessary to get our children to the next level of heaven, then we should be the best example that they ever have to look at. Because we put too much emphasis on the church, and as we know, the church sometimes can push us away. It could be disconcerting. It could be rude. It could be nasty. It could be mean. It could be downright just not right. But if we are parents and we are in the right posture and right position, our children should be looking at us and say, because my mom and dad was faithful, I'm going to be faithful too. That's the best education. That's the best training. That's the best anything. Do they have to go to church to see that? No. Do they have to be in church every week to do that? No. Do they have to have this mindset, if I'm not a great Christian, I'm going to die and go to hell? No. All we have to do as parents is just be great examples to them. And if we pattern our lives after him, they will pattern our lives, our children, after us. And then that pattern will lead them to him.
All right. Well, thank you for that. That's a very good point. Shield of Faith, let's bring you back in here. Shield of Faith, I mean, I'm looking at this here now. I mean, there's so many parents who have, so many parents who've done their best. And somehow or other, the parent gets frustrated. The human aspect of them come to light. And they just get tired and weary. Life happens. Mother gets a divorce. And now she's stuck with these four kids. And she's having a hard time and she's in pain. So Shield of Faith, how can she be expected? The kids are small. To maintain her faith, and all of a sudden now she starts to see, I mean, these are all true scenarios. We have a number of them to share with you tonight. She starts seeing a married man. She didn't intend for that to happen. He is going to know that he's married, but he's a married man, and she's got to feed him. She's got to pay the bill. Can we stand in judgment of her?
Well, we're not to be judgmental, but God's word says that that's wrong, and she has decisions to make. There are ways to, you know, obtain food and support your children without dating a married man. And I would say that more than likely her dating a married man would not be to benefit the children, but to benefit herself. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we can't judge somebody for the life that, you know, or the choices that they've made. But the point is that those children just like Sir Ben said, they need to be introduced to God, and she's not going to introduce them to God when she's living a sinful lifestyle. So, you know, if you're going to raise your children up in the right way and you want them to do what's right, you have to show them, just like you said, you're their example. You're the only, you know, the person that they see the most, just like the going to college and going to church and things like that. And I think we should put some responsibility on the church, as we as people that are the church should reach out to try to help, you know, help that single mother with her children, help her in any way you can, as a sister in Christ or brother in Christ.
Okay. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. There are a lot of people hurting out here, you all, especially during the Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons. So, let me see, I want to bring you in here with that same line of questioning. This woman has four kids. Husband walked out. He's not even taking care of his own kids. And now she's starting to see a married man. This woman was a faithful churchgoer, but her children, you know, she's not making enough, and the husband is not supporting her at all. So now she's seeing a married man, but this is your friend, Miss Jade. This happens to be your friend. So now, can you stand in judgment of her, and when you haven't walked in her shoes? And before you respond to that, I just want to say, you know, I was a single parent. And let me tell you, that's the hardest job on the planet. For me, it was. I can't speak for everyone. And I didn't have the funds. I didn't have the funds to even take care of my kids. Sometimes it wasn't even enough food, so I had to eat peanut butter. So it made me realize that, you know what, unless you walked in someone's shoes, dare not judge them. Because, I mean, yeah, it seems wrong, but what would we do if we were in that situation? And when I didn't have enough, trying to be faithful in everything. You know, no, I didn't go out and date a married woman. I just, you know, counted on God. And it was hard, Michelle. It was very hard when you don't even have enough for days to eat, but you got to make sure your children eat. But it made me realize I would never judge anyone, woman or man, for anything that they do, because you can't unless you walked in their shoes. And even then, I don't think it's right to judge. Michelle, what do you do? This is your friend. She's seeing a married man up and paying the bills.
You know.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to judge. First, I probably ask her, what, you know, for you won't have to do this. What can I do to help you? What can we do? And then she probably tell me it's nothing you can do. I need more than what you can do, da-da-da-da-da-da. And this is something I need to do because he's there for me. He's taking care of me. I know he's married. And then I'm thinking in my head, well, all have sinned come short of the glory of God. So if that's what you need to do to take care of you, it's between you and your God, and I'm not the one to condemn you. So I just say be careful.
You know, so the thing is, Miss J, it's like that's kind of a reality. It is, because if she really felt that you could help her as her friend, she knows that she runs $1,100 a month short of meeting her obligations, the children, and that's just to meet the obligations. Miss J, this is your friend. That's your friend, your BFF, if they call it. The BFF. I never understood what the BFF was. Best friend for, what
forever.
Is the other F?
Forever.
Forever? Okay, thank you. See, I'm learning from everybody. So, Miss J, this is your best friend forever. And so, can you really afford, Miss J, to give her that $1,100 a month?
No,
for,
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I would still, while she's doing this, being my BFF, I would still be doing some research to see how we could get her some help so she can get out of this situation. As a friend, I would still be working on it. But in the meantime, she got to do what she got to do, and I'm not going to condemn, because who out there has sinned doing something? I don't agree with what she's doing, but like you said, who am I to judge her on it? So.
All right, I know that I can. Pastor Roll, let's bring you in here. Pastor Roll, the same scenario here. I mean, the children got to eat. You know, she's looking at her kids, Mama. You know, I got a phone call recently, a few months ago, from a principal that said, Dr. Walker, I know you like to help, but these kids, three siblings, came to school. They're in elementary school. These kids came to school, and they had no lunch. And I say, well, okay, where's the parents? She said, the mother's a single mom. And I say, well, did you reach out to her? And she says, yes, I did. The mother told her, she says, no, the children don't have any lunch. They didn't forget their lunch. I sent them to school hoping that they could eat. There's no food in the house. That's what the mother told her. And so the children, it was lunchtime, and the principal said to them, where's your food? They say, we have no food. There's no food at home. They confirmed what the mother said to her. So she says, I told the principal, can you feed them? And I'll take care of it. And this was not even in the county where I live. She just, you know, familiar with the radio show. So I said, well, feed them. And then, if you would, contact the mother later and see what she needs immediately to carry her for at least a couple of weeks. And I said, make sure you get water. You know, we can survive on water if nothing else for a while. But I said, make sure you get water, and please take her to the store and shop, and I'll send you the money. And she did that. So now I'm going to you, Pastor Roll, and saying this to you. Now, when these children are coming to school hoping for a last meal, and then you might, you know, the other kids are laughing. I've been in that situation where I've gone to school with no, as a child, and had no food to eat because there was nothing to eat at home. So, Pastor Roe, can you look at these children and say it's the parents' fault that these children don't have anything to eat?
Well, no, you can't. But you know, I personally feel that, you know, when this comes to attention, you know, what I would do is, you know, share with what I have to support, you know, that mother and the kids, but also try to find the proper resources. And the principal of that school ought to know the resources that, you know, you can go to have these resources to support and help the person. But the first thing you do everything that you can and to help and you know, pray. You know, that's always important. You know, the only thing I can say is resources, and do what you can to help the person first. And I believe that God will make a way. But, gather the surrounding communities and do what you can to help. That's my thoughts on that. Back to you. But I wouldn't judge, you know, a person, you know, going out with another man or whatever, you know. Judge not lest you be judged, you know. The only thing you can do is just minister and pray. But I wouldn't judge it because she's having a relationship with another person outside of marriage.
All right, so now here we go. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. And the question becomes, I mean, we don't know unless we walk in somebody's shoes. And here we are with that same situation. And, you know, you don't know what it's – a lot of people don't know what it's like to be hungry. I do. And without having the food and the means to get any food. So now, Sir Ben, the question becomes – if that woman is seeing a married man to take care of her children, can you really, you know, frown on her, you know? And the question became where, what did, and I want to ask you a twofold question. That one first, and then the other one is, why do you think it was so important that Jesus fed the people first, the multitude first, before he ministered to them? Why do you think that was so important? But first, if you respond to the part about judging that woman, I mean, looking at those kids who had nothing to eat. Talk to me, Sir Ben.
Well, first of all, I'm not looking at the woman's choices. The children are innocent. I've learned throughout life that usually the greatest price ever paid in most situations and bad choices that parents make are the children. The children pays the greatest price. They have the emotional scars. They have the physical scars. They have the hunger pains because of our bad decisions. They are now a respondent of those bad decisions. So to answer your question, the fact that she's seeing a married man is none of my business because I have the directive and the assignment that says help those who are in need. I am not supposed to be concerned about why they got in need or how they got in need. The fact is, if I have the means to help, I am going to help. I am not concerned about how she gets her help. I'm concerned about the children. And so therefore, if I feed the children's stomach, then they can be receptive to the blessings that I can bestow upon them by showing them how God loves us. Now, to answer why God fed the multitude first, because when you are out ministering to people, a lot of times we think we have to get to their spirit and their soul first. But if people are hurting in the physical state and you feed their stomachs, you feed that nourishment that gets them to the point where they can now receive what you're saying, it's a twofold. I'm feeding you to get you stronger, but I'm also feeding your mind and your spirit and your body and your soul because I want you to move from a place of need into a place of comfort, a place of love, a place of understanding. So, yes, you want to feed them first because everything we should be doing is operating out of love, not in a way that we understand it, but in the way that God told us. He said, love one another. And so if I love you, then I'm going to do my best for you. If I don't have the resources or means to do it, just like the principal called you and say, hey, I know you have to help people, I can go and find people who are like-minded who I can say, hey, I need a little help with this family. Hey, I need a little help with this group over here. Even Jesus used people. He told the disciples to go find the food, didn't he? He said, go find the food to feed the people.
So he knew the food was. He knew what the little boy already had. But he said, hey, y'all go out and find the food. So that's sometimes what we got to do. We got to go out and find the necessary means able to help those who are in need.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Shield of Faith, let me bring you in here on this one just before we bring in Cassandra to tonight's broadcast. Thank you for your patience, Cassandra. Please stand by. So Shield of Faith, and this will go out to others as well. Michelle, we're going to bring it to you in a moment. The church board comes together because there's a family. Let's say this same family, the mother with the three kids now, who there's no food. And the church wants to give her $200 for, you know, to help her out. So, Miss J, what happens is, Shield of Faith, let's go to you first. So what happens is one of the ladies on there says, you know, I don't think we should give her anything. And she says it with an attitude. I don't think we should give her anything because, you know, she probably, you know, she was wearing all them nice fancy clothes and when she was with her husband. And all of a sudden now he's not with her. She probably did something wrong herself. So she should have made better decisions. I don't think we need to give her anything. Maybe give her $50 and be done with it. So then others say, hey, you know what? That's true. She was wearing nice clothes and shoes and everything, holding her husband together, and now he's left her, and now she's acting like she's a victim pity party. Shield of Faith, I mean, these are all inspired by true events. Mm-hmm. That, those women on that board that just seem like they're in church, on the church board, but they don't want to really reach out and help this woman in her despair. Shield of Faith, I mean, how do people do that?
I don't know. I mean, it's a shame that the church is not what God intended it to be, that Christians don't always look to God for guidance and wisdom in their decisions and the running of their mouth, as I say. But, you know, sometimes people, just their heart's not in the right place, and it's unfortunate that it, you know, comes from the church as well. And I can say firsthand that, you know, my deepest scars and pains have come from brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's very unfortunate because when you try to go and witness, they, you know, that things like that are pointed out. But I don't know how they lay their head on the pillow at night once they make a decision or make a comment like that about somebody that's struggling. I think as Christians, we all should try to help as much as possible because you never know what tomorrow holds for you and what can happen in your life that could put you in that very position where you need help.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's bring in Cassandra, and then we're going to go to Ms. Jay with that same question. Cassandra, thank you for joining us tonight. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Thank you for your patience.
Yes. Good afternoon, Dr. Walker, and everyone. God bless you all. It's a pleasure being here with you.
Okay. Excellent. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, our parents fail in their youth by not training them up according to the Word of God. Michelle, let me bring you in here now and with that same scenario. I mean, this mother tried to keep the children in church. She was trying to go to church faithfully, but now all of a sudden she just can't, you know, she doesn't have the extra gas money to do anything. Yeah, she's with this married man and he's making demands, and we all say that we can't judge her, but the church people are now saying, you know, they're gossiping about this woman. Come on, Miss J. You know, the woman is looking for $200, but they will quickly go out and say, oh, I think I saw this man at her house because I don't live too far from her, and this car is always over there. Miss J, come on. The church board, these are supposed to be the holy people, Miss J. Help me with this, please.
You know that those bunch of old ladies been going to the church for 100 years, and they probably think they own the church, you know, and, you know, they don't. But, you know, they worried about the wrong thing just because they're on that board. They truly think that they are authorized by God to judge someone. And, you know, they need to think about that thing because they, you know, they wouldn't, if times got hard for them, they wouldn't want nobody to talk about them and treat them that way. So, you know, they are truly not Christians, and, you know, they need to just be taken off the board. It should be somebody in that area, congregation on that board, that would dismiss that kind of talk. That's all it is to it. It needs to be dismissed.
That's all it is. Ms. J, it's so interesting that you say they've been in church for 100 years because they think they're on church. I've actually had people come to me, older people, and say, you're sitting in my seat.
Really? They do. They think
you're
they
sitting
know
in my seat. And nobody has assigned seats in the church. I mean, other than maybe the pastor and some of the elders, but you're on a pew, the row, and the pew's like, you're in my seat. I usually sit there every week. So at the time of being married, we got up and gave the lady her seat. I mean, Ms. J, how do you say the people act like they own the church?
They're just there to gossip and keep stuff stirred up. It's sad to say, but we know that some of us, just about everybody, got one or two of them in their church. You know, sad to say.
All right. We're going to ask you all to stand by. You're listening to your one-hour inspirational program. Our parents failing their youth by not training them up according to the Word of God is our topic tonight. I want to bring Sparkles in just a moment to make that announcement that she made earlier, because we have a number of other people, just to thank you all and let you know with the efforts of what you all are doing, with your sponsorship, what we're able to do for Christmas. We did Thanksgiving, and now we're doing Christmas, and Sparkles is going to bring in an announcement to thank you all on behalf of the entire team. And please, and I say this with all love and respect, it's not me doing this by myself, you all. It is not me. So I don't deserve – I'm right there on an equal playing field with all of you all. I put in my sponsorship as well, just like many of you all do. And so Sparkles, on behalf of all of us, the team, it's the team. And Sparkles reminds me all the time, there's no I in me in team. It's all of us. So Sparkles, if you'll take this opportunity to just let – our sponsors, those who are on this line, and some who are not, and I want them to hear how much we all appreciate each other, because I couldn't do this by myself, and it's because of what you all are doing that we're all on the same playing field. Sparkles.
Yes. Okay, Dr. Walker, yes. So, everyone, I want to share with you. So, Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc., and the team, we want to thank you. We want to thank everyone who has and continues to support this Christmas project of 2023. The theme this year is Love is the Spirit of Christmas. With the Lord's help, we are able to give away 50 gift bags. A little placed in the Lord's hands is always multiplied in God's hands. The gift bags will be distributed to the homeless and families in need. Also, the Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the team will be sponsoring some things to the staff at the YMCA in Atlanta, as well as the Pro Rehab Facility in Atlanta, Georgia. It is because of God and all who are participating that this is possible. If anyone would like to do a one-time sponsorship for this Christmas project, it is not too late. You can contact the office, area code 786-399-6111, or you can go to the website, drjessewalker.com. We want to thank you in advance for your sponsorship. Thank you.
And thank you again, Sparks, for that. And a very special thanks, you know, goes to all of you all that sponsors, even the listeners of the program. We certainly appreciate your encouragement, the comments that you send in. And special thanks for this particular, for the Thanksgiving and the Christmas project, special thanks goes to Sparkles and Shield of Faith, because it's not me, you all. They're the brains behind that. Shield of Faith and Sparkles have been the brains behind, you know, the creation of this, the following it through. At times, and I say this with all love and respect, they've actually gotten on my nerves. And we've had some people in the background as well that's also been a part of this team that
wait
we appreciate.
wait a minute. On your nerves? What?
In a good way. In a good way. When I say they've gotten on my nerves, thank you, Sheila Faith, they've gotten on my nerves in a good way to remind me of things that, listen, we need to get this here done, we need to get that done, And that's what I mean. It's been in a good way. Sometimes getting on your nerves is not bad, but this has all been in a good way. Shield of Faith, go ahead and respond to that.
Yeah, just it's a privilege to be able to try to help others and to get on Dr. Walker's nerves every once in a while. But I appreciate Sparkles stepping in and helping out, you know, when I'm unavailable. So, but it is a privilege to try to help those that are in need for me and to be a part of this. It's been a blessing for me.
And, you know, and I thank you for that, because it's when I say getting on my nerves, I think what it takes to there are many people who, what's the song? The Wind Beneath My Sail? Is that the name of the song?
It's Wings, not Sail.
Oh, thank you. See, you know. Well, you know what I'm trying to say. That's what they have been. What is it again, Shield of Faith? It's the Wings.
Wind Beneath My Wings.
The Wind Beneath My Wings. Okay, but listen, that was pretty good why I say it too, because the wind beneath my sail, because it takes wind to sail a boat. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. See there? Thank you, Holy Spirit, because it takes wind to sail the boat with the, I call it a flag, but it's not a flag. You know that, what does it call somebody?
A sailboat with a mast.
Right, that's what I'm talking about, because it takes the wind to blow. So they have. This is what they've been. They've been the ones who have put the fire upon me and basically, you know, remind me even to today, you know, in communications with them. If it weren't for them particularly and you all out there, this would not have happened. And I am just so grateful because as of next week, we're going to be doing some distribution. So listen, you all, this is really touching for me, and I thank you all so much for it. All right, let's go ahead and continue with our program. We're almost out of time. Let's go to the phone lines once again. I think we have Ms. Marjorie Cross. Ms. Marjorie Cross, one of our sponsors as well. Ms. Cross, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you here.
Yes. Thank you. Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night, Pastor Roland, everyone on the line. Good night. See you all.
Okay. So, Ms. Cross, just quickly here, do you think that the parents are failing their children because they're not training them up in the way that they should go according to the Word of God?
Well, yes. I think the parents, sometimes they train them up in the way they should go, but then when they get older, they do depart. Because if they train up the child and when they get older, they won't depart. But some of them, you train them right, or when they get older, they just do it their own way. You know, so I don't blame the parents for everything. I really don't. Because some of them just go their own ways when they're ready. So, but a lot of parents really do their best to train them up the right way. But, you know, when they get older, whatever they do, that's another thing.
That is absolutely right. And thank you all for the comments that you sent in, the wind beneath my wings. And some have even liked the wind
beneath my wings.
Huh? The what?
It's the wing beneath my wing, not my sail, but I was laughing when you said that.
Well, you know what?
Well, that's the best medicine, Dr. Walker, so that's good.
Oh, okay. The Holy Spirit is really good. Thank you all for your comments that have come in. The question has been asked this evening, how do you define, and let me go up here to Pastor Rowe just quickly here because we're running out of time. Pastor Rowe, how do you define the church? What is the church supposed to be? How do you define the church? You say, well, I go to church. I preach at the church. I teach at the church. I'm a deacon in the church. I'm a deaconess in the church. What is the church? I mean, what is that? I mean, outside of just being a building.
Well, I would say the church is a body of baptized believers, you know, and we have people that even with us, and I won't duplicate what Sister Sparkles have so beautifully said, but I will say David said, I've been young, but now I'm old, but I never seen the righteous forsaken or see begging bread. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. And I just want to say, I would say Blog Talk Radio show, in a sense, is a church. you know, because we got believers, people that are making a difference, people that are making a catalyst for change. And you are our pastor, Dr. Walker, and you're a leader. We all respect you, and we're going to follow you as you follow Christ. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Well, I certainly do. You know, sometimes I feel like I could be the blind leading the blind because I'm still trying to get it right myself. And listen, I get a lot of my support comes from you all, listening to you all, the laughter, the seriousness, the whatever you all say. I mean, it's like it's a family here for me that sometimes you all don't realize that. I mean, I'm down and out sometimes, and I will call on some of you all like I do Pastor Roland, Miss Jace or Ben. I've called Shield of Faith, Sparkles. I've called on a number of you all, even Brother Lorenzo, who's not with us tonight, had an emergency. I've called on a number of you all, you know, that you often encourage me. We're encouraging each other, and I appreciate that. I mean, I call on Miss Jay quite often because she knows how to keep it real, and she will tell me some things that are on her mind. And I know that, you know, friendship is meaning that you're not always in agreement with each other. You're helping each other to be better. So I thank all of you all for your leadership, your guidance, your direction, because I feel like I'm a student to all of you all. So we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Jay, while I've got you here, let me ask you, you know, so if we find these parents who are, Ms. Cross, we got some feedback. Did you want to say something?
No, I'm tired. I need bills.
Okay. Okay, we got some feedback. All right, let's go here. Ms. Jay, while I've got you here, I'm trying to stay with my thought here. Michelle, so, and failing to you. So if that woman, let's go back to that scenario because that's rather touching, and this happens more frequently than you would imagine. So she stopped going to church, but now you've been going to church for 30, 40 years, and you notice you don't see her in there, and of course this is a hypothetical. So Michelle, wouldn't it be your duty, wouldn't it be my duty to try to reach out to her to see if everything is okay, knowing that this woman has these four children at home?
You know, when you ask Pastor Rowe what is the church, and that's what I do when I go to church. To me, the church is a place to go worship and fellowship with your fellow Christians, you know. And we worship, you know, through the word and prayer and music and all that. But after the service and all, I love to go around and talk to people I haven't seen in a while. And I'll probably spot her and talk to her, you know. So, yes, I think we should approach them like that and, you know, in a positive way.
Right. But if you haven't seen her now, because remember, this woman, she stopped coming to church because she just doesn't have the extra gas money. She's just trying to get, I mean, single parenting is hard. You're trying to feed these children. They need school supplies. You know, and in Florida, they're wearing uniforms, and it's like the uniforms can be very expensive. And so now you haven't seen her there, Miss Jay. Now, your role in the church, we're still trying to look for the definition of the church. I mean, you fellowship and you're seeing all these people, but, hey, have you seen Sister Jones? Anybody asking? Oh, she's probably,
okay,
you know.
Okay, no, so do I know that she's having difficulties, the reason why she haven't been there?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, now,
no.
If I don't know this, a lot of people don't like to tell their business, but I will approach her and say, how you doing, Sister Jones? It's been a while since I've seen you. How's the kids? Everybody's doing good? You know, if she wants to tell me some stuff, I can't make her tell me. I can't ask her, what, you having problems at home? You need some money? I can't do that. She has to volunteer, but I will ask, how's the family? How the children? Is school going well for them? You know, especially when I feel something. But if she don't volunteer and give me the information, I can't help her. So, you know, you got to want the help, too.
You know, Miss Jay, with you saying this, now, see, I've been in that situation, and I didn't even go to my church. I needed money so badly to feed my children, to pay the light bill even. And I was afraid to go to the church because I saw how they talked about other people. And so I dared not go to them. So, I mean, it was just easier. Okay, we're not going to go to church today. You know, we're not going to go probably next week for the next several weeks because, you know, you should be able to see kids, how these kids are starting to look, you know, to know, hey, something is wrong. We see, the thing is, you know, when the Bible talks about feed my sheep, there's a lot that goes with that, feed my sheep, to be on the lookout. Mr. Dee, we're going to ask you something about Sir Ben. I don't want to bring you in here. We're running out of time, y'all, so let's go as fast as we can. Sir Ben, so now, I mean, should you have to, if you're asking me, oh, how things are going, and I know that we don't have anything, but I know you're this big-time elder, and I'm kind of embarrassed to even ask you. I might ask somebody who I'm closer with because, I mean, so many people, you know what they'll say, Sir Ben? Oh, my brother, my sister, I'm going to be praying for you. God is going to work a miracle in your life. I know he is. So you just don't give up. But in the meantime, my kids are hungry. Come on, Sir Ben.
It tells us, bring you therefore your tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat. Okay, that meat is for the people. And if you are in the position to be over the meat, then you have to operate as though it is not yours, it is God. So we are in a wrong posture if you feel like you can't go to your leadership, because let me say this. You should have such a strong leadership in your organization that you should not be able to tell who the leader is. Everybody should be equally as strong and equally as gifted, or if they're not, they should be on a level that they are getting closer to be eagles and not pigeons. So therefore, everybody should have the same kind of response and the same kind of heart, which means that you should be able to go to anybody in your leadership, and they should be able to say, brother, what do you need? The question should be, well, I thought you and I used to be, and what happened? No. Brother, what do you need? You came to the storehouse. You came there because you need something. So therefore, you should be fed based on your need, not based on what they thought, what they said. It doesn't matter what you dress, like you have, your car. Hey, what do you need? Because if we are operating correctly, not only will God keep replenishing the storehouse, our faith is strong enough to make sure that happens, but we should be able to help those who come to us. When we start directing our so-called, well, we can't help them because they did this or they did this, then we're not being obedient to what it means to have meat in the storehouse. Our meat is for the people, not for what we think.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Jay, I want to go back. Cassandra, let's go to you first. Cassandra, the question becomes, all of a sudden now,
okay. You
were, you know, one of this lady. Let's go back to this lady now. She was one of the deaconesses in the church.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ms. Cassandra, we got noise in your area. We're going to mute you. Ms. Jay, let's go to you. Ms. Jay, so now what happens is the same lady, she was a deaconess in the church, and what happens is, because she hasn't been paying a faithful tithe, and who can judge on what your tithe should be? And she hasn't been given an offering. Who can judge on what your offering should be? And now they say, well, they come together, the deaconess board, and they say, we're going to have to remove her from office. Now, Ms. Kay, don't you think that hurts because she can't give some money to the church? Should she be removed from that position?
No. And if they got their bylaws and stuff set up that way, that's ridiculous, you know. You know, to give your tithe, you give your 10% of what you got, and she ain't making nothing, it sounds like. So how much they expect her to give? You know, no, that's ridiculous.
Okay,
and that's
so,
because I'm telling you this right quick, because I know of a lady just said recently that she had not been paying tithes because she didn't have the money, and it was time to vote on the pastor, whatever it was. And she said that she was questioned about, okay, you're not able to vote because you haven't been paying tithes. I'm like, what? You know, so that was kind of shocking to me at the church that she attends.
It happens all the time. So, you know, we're talking about training up our parents failing their youth. But look at how we're operating even as parents, and the children are watching this. Think about this, you all. And so the question becomes now, let me go up here now, Sparkles, let's bring you in here. Sparkles, what happens is this young girl, she's 19, she gets pregnant out of wedlock. The boy is also a member of the church. But they bring the girl up front because she's showing and when the boy done broke up, she's 6 months pregnant. And they're talking about disfellowshipping this young lady, you know, because she's not married and she's having a baby out of wedlock. Do you think that young lady will ever want to come back to church? They're kicking her out of the church. Sparkles, come on now. I thought the church was a hospital for sinners. You know, and God said, ain't none of us good. Help me with this, Sparkles. What are we doing?
That's a disgrace. Yeah, that's a disgrace on the church to do that to that young lady. It takes two to tango. So,
but they don't bother the young man because
they should.
The preacher's son.
It does not matter. They need to bring both of them before the church if they're going to do that. But I don't think they need to be kicking them out.
Okay, but you think the boy is going to admit that that's his? At that age, they be saying, they ain't mine. They ain't mine. They say it just like that. Missy, I want to bring you in here.
I know
Missy.
What they say. But,
oh,
yeah,
go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, it's still wrong. It's wrong. They shouldn't dismiss nobody out of the church.
Okay, Miss J, let me bring you in here. Miss J, the boy, he's the preacher's son, the PK. Okay, preacher's kid. So they're not bothering the preacher's kid, but they're kicking this young lady out. Miss J, come on. This is the church. And then you wonder, are the parents failing? Is the church failing? What is happening, Miss J?
It's not the church. It's the pastor that they got running that particular church. I don't put it on the members of the church or the church. It's that the one who's over everybody, so, you know, and the little guidelines that they're going by. So that's the kind of church that you don't want to be a part of because they're all about themselves, it seems like. They got the little, I don't know what you want to call it. But, you know, no, that's not a Christian church. They're not to give a Bible by the Bible. I don't know what they're reading. And I just don't know. I could be a part of nothing like that. That's all I know.
Right. Okay. We're, you know, this is just amazing. Our parents failing their youth by not training them up in the word, according to the word of God. Cassandra, I want to bring you back in. Let's see if, Cassandra, are you available? Cassandra.
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Ms. Cassandra, let me bring you in here. Ms. Cassandra, what can you tell our audience tonight about situations where if they're failing their children, how are they failing them? Just give us one thought how they might be failing their children outside of not training them in the Word of God.
Then it still speaks volume, not training them in the Word of God. That spreads abroad. And the word says that we ought to train up our children the way that they should go, like one spoke earlier, and it is so. And though they grow older, they may depart. Some of them do, and they will. But because of the word, it's been deeply rooted, they will come back because we have to continue to pray for them. But we also have to live a lifestyle before our children. That's another major thing because if you don't, they will pick up what you put down. And it won't be good.
All right, so we're going to ask you to stand by. Michelle, I want to bring you back in here because, I mean, there's something that it triggers me to go back to you back and forth. Michelle, I want to say this here. So with what Cassandra is saying, if you're living in an abusive situation, mother is there with the father and he's abusive, and you keep going back and forth with him when you split up from him, then could it be that your children will pattern some of that behavior with the men that they might get involved with or the women that they might get involved with? What are your thoughts on that, Michelle? Because that's what I see.
Exactly.
It's all over it. This could happen right here because that stayed in situations that they know they should have gotten out of, and they stay there for years, and they let their children see the agony and don't realize the scars that's going to leave. Talk to me, Michelle, before we get off the air.
Yeah,
That's
a form of training and teaching right there. Parents are training, teaching their children to live a lifestyle that they're familiar with. It's not godly. It's not good. So they're going to pattern right after them. And I was going to say, as far as in the Bible, what to say about, you know, train your kids up where they get old, they would not forget. That's not a promise that God told us going to happen. I feel that that's a warning that he's telling us, you know, that if parents allow their children to continue to do all these things, they will start, you know, if parents allow them to do their thing, they will become destructive and do all these foolish things when they become older. So you can try to train them however you train them. Sometimes they'll stick to that training if it's the godly way. Sometimes they won't. But if you're training them in a negative way, it works both ways. Because once they get away from you and all your negativity, hopefully they'll get to someone that want to get into the Word. So, you know, however you train them, when they're with you, that's the way that they're going to go until they learn better themselves. And it all would do with their will. You know, as we get older, we have our own will to do what we feel we need to do in the Word. So that's how it usually ends. You know, you train us young, but it's not a promise we're going to stay that way. And however we ended up, it's all on us to do that. And we just pray that our kids will always stay in the Word, but it don't necessarily happen that way.
I appreciate what you all have said tonight, Ms. Day. Thank you for that. And, you know, it's like when we look at this year, when we're training them up, there's no guarantee. Just like what she just said, there is no guarantee. Training them up in the Word, they can still go in a different direction. You know, it's been a joy to have everybody on here tonight. I want to thank all of you all and for the blessings that the team has come together. And that's how I look at all of you all as the leaders. Next week's topic, next Thursday, you don't want to miss next Thursday and Friday. These are some direct topics. Next Thursday is, are you still waiting for better to come? Rather than making it happen yourself. Are you still waiting for better to come rather than making it happen yourself? You know how people say, well, I'm still waiting for this to happen, you know, instead of making it happen themselves. And then Friday is, does God expect us to continue to wait for better in anything and everything we do? Does God expect us to continue to wait for better in any and everything that we do? Listen, we're out of time, and we've got to get off the air. But I want to thank all of you all for taking part in tonight's program. It's been a real pleasure and a real joy. Thank all of you all. Those of you all we weren't able to get to and some of the comments that we weren't able to get to tonight, we do apologize for that. Call in early and press 1 on your dial. Listen, we'll be back here next week, God willing, for a continuation of our programming. If you choose to bypass next week, we'll be back. We'll be here next Thursday, next Friday, and next Saturday morning. Until then, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
God bless you, Sister Marjorie.
God bless you, Pastor Rose.